We're going to talk today about Meleches Machsheres. What we're going to try to do is begin with the Psukim, then go to the Mishnayos, and then to the Gemaras, and then to the Rashis, the Rishonim, and all the way down to even Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. He also has something to say about Meleches Machsheres. Now, it could be that this overview of the concept of Meleches Machsheres will have to take one more shiur. My goal would be to finish it today in the next hour or so, but I never know. A lot of it depends upon whether you want to have questions or you want it to just be more of my speaking. You know, a lot of it depends upon on you, and we're going to try to do this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of move at a fast pace, and the ball is in your court to slow me down. That's your responsibility. We start with Parshas Mishpat, and there in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah says the following: Sheshes Yomim Tase Masecha Uvayom Hashvi Tishbos. Okay, that's what we start with. Now you know, I don't have to tell you this, that we divide up all the mitzvahs in the Torah into two basic categories: mitzvahs Asei and mitzvahs Losa. So what do we have here? Tishbos or mitzvahs Asei. Tishbos is a classic mitzvah Asei. But then we go back to the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, in Perek Chaf of Sefer Shmos Pasuk Yud, and there it says, Yom Hashvi Shabbos Hashem Elokecha Lo Sa'ase Kol Melacha. What do we have now? A lotus. And that's how the Rambam codifies this at the beginning of Sefer Zmanim. Now, Sefer Zmanim is divided up into many different sections, but it begins with Hilchos Shabbos. The Magid Mishnah has a very philosophical explanation as to why the Rambam decides to begin Hilchos Shabbos with Sefer Zmanim with Hilchos Shabbos. He says there's a Siba and there's a Mesovev, and the Mesovev is the universe, and God created the universe, and Shabbos commemorates the creation of the universe. A whole philosophical explanation that puts Shabbos in a category of its own. Okay. Now, we don't find in the Mishnah a concept of Meleches Machsheres. So in that sense, at this point, I was disappointed. I was hoping to find it in the Mishnah. But I find something very closely related to Meleches Machsheres, and that is a sugya in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Memtes Amud Beis. In that Gemara, the question arises, why 39? The Mishnah enumerates 39 categories of Malacha, and the Gemara wants to know, where does this 39 come from? And the Gemara offers two explanations. The first explanation is that of Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. And he claims that there are 39 categories of Malacha that were necessary to build the Mishkan. And the Bar Plukta, the one who disagrees with Rabbi Chanina, is Rabbi Shimon. And he says that the number 39 comes from an entirely different source. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you take a look in the Torah, you'll find the word Malacha 39 times. We're going to focus our attention on the first opinion, that of Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. The Gemara wants to know, how does Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama derive the conclusion that 39 Malachos are meant to be derived from the 39 categories of Malacha for the Avodas HaMishkan? And the Gemara establishes what we call a Hekesh. Hekesh means, of course, when you find two sections that are written in the Torah contiguous one to the other. So if, for example, we open up to Parshas Vayakel,
That's Shmos Perek Lamed Hei, which opens up with the mitzvah of Shabbos, Sheishes Yomim, Te'osa Molochu Vayom Ashvi, Shabbos Shabbos on Lashem. Immediately following, contiguous, is Vayomer Moshe Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, Kuh Itchem Truma, Kol Nidiv Libo Yivieha, Truma Sashem Zov V'chesem V'nechoshes Tcheles Hargomen Solas Shoni V'sheish Izim, etc., 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 V'chol Chacham Lev Bochem Yasu, Yavo V'yasu Es Kol Asher Tzivash. And that's the mitzvah of Meleches HaMishkan. So this point is very, very important in our overview of an introduction to Shabbos. We have to emphasize that the Gemara establishes an equation between Meleches Shabbos and Meleches HaMishkan. So far, that equation generates the number 39, which is not insignificant. 39 categories of Melech. We'll soon see that that equation generate something that's much more important, and it's crucial to understand the entire mechanism of Hilchos Shabbos and Meleches Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to analyze the Shita that says that it says in Shabbos, excuse me, it says in the Torah 39 times Melacha, and the Gemara says that there are many more psukim than 39. It's very difficult to come up with the number 39. The Gemara tries to work this out. But the impression you get from the flow of the Gemara is that it accepted not the first opinion, but rather the second, excuse me, not the second opinion, meaning the 39 times it says Melach in the Torah, but rather the first opinion that the 39 in Meleches Shabbos parallels the 39 categories of Melach that were necessary for what? For the building of a building of the Mishkan. So we're doing well so far. Now, in Parshas Vayakel that we just mentioned, the Torah says, Sheshes Yomim Te'ase Melacha Ubayom Ashvi Yilachem Kodesh. And then it says, Zeh Adover Shatziva Hashem Lemar, and it continues with the Parsha of Meleches HaMishkan. Rashi makes a very interesting comment in his Pirush al Torah. Rashi says that Hikdim Azhara Shabbos Litzivui Meleches HaMishkan Lomar She'eno Dochas HaShabbos. Rashi justifies the smichus ha-parshios, the contiguity here between Shabbos and Meleches HaMishkan, on a technical level to teach me and establish a principle in halacha. I might have thought that I would violate the Shabbos for the sake of building the Mishkan. The Torah says no. What comes first is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And that takes precedence and trumps the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. And at first when I saw this Rashi, I thought maybe Rashi is not on board with the explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara Mentes explained that the reason why the Torah put together Shabbos and Mishkan is to establish the number 39 Melachos, the 39 categories of Melach. Rashi is giving us a whole different explanation and an answer to the question why Shabbos and Mishkan were placed together. But I think, on second thought, although again it would be very tempting to say that Rashi Paskin like that man Yom in the Gemara that says the reason for 39 categories of Malach has nothing to do with the Mishkan, but rather has to do with the word Malach that appears 39 times in the Torah, but I don't think that that's necessarily so. And I'll tell you why, because I think we have what I call an agenda here to equate Shabbos with Meleches HaMishkan as a finale, as something that's absolutely accepted and is unqualified, unquestionable. And that is the concept of Meleches Machsheves. Where does this concept of Meleches Machsheves come from? We'll soon see the sources inside, but you should know that in Parshas Vayakel, after presenting the mitzvah of Shabbos, and then going on to command in the building of the Mishkan, there the Torah says, Vayimale also referring to Bezalel, Ruach Elokim, Bechachma Betvuna Bedas, Ubechol Molocha, Velachshov Machshovos, Becharoshes, Evan, Eitz. Now listen carefully, here's the punchline. This is Pasuk Lamed Gimel. In Perek Lamed Hey, it says, Lasos Bechol Meleches Machsheves. We'll soon see that Rashi, not here, while at Torah, but elsewhere, is going to make a big deal about the fact that the command to build the Mishkan through Meleches HaMishkan is described with the adjective Meleches Machsheves. And since we have an equation between Shabbos and Meleches HaMishkan, then if A equals B, B equals C, then A equals C. Meaning if, as far as Meleches HaMishkan is concerned, we need a Meleches Machsheves, that's explicit in the Torah. If there's an equation now between Meleches Shabbos and Meleches HaMishkan, then to the same extent, Kishem, that in Meleches HaMishkan I require a Meleches Machsheves, so too in Meleches Shabbos I require Meleches Machsheves. And if I can make a case that that's how Rashi understands it, then certainly I could assume that Rashi accepts the opinion in the Gemara that we identified as Rabbi Hanina's opinion, that there is an equation between Meleches Shabbos and Meleches HaMishkan. Okay. Now, we turn to a very, very important sugya in Masechet Chagiga. The Gemara says, in Masechet Chagiga, on Daf Yud, that Meleches Shabbos is considered Mikra Muat V'Halachos Merubos. Literally translated as very skimpy in the text, in the what we call the written Torah, but very broad and manifold in the oral Torah. And that's called in the Lashon HaMishnah Harim HaTluyim B'Si'ara. Mountains that are being held up by hair. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? There's no Shabbos in the Torah? The Gemara says, Chagiga Daf Yud Amud Aleph Michtav Ksivan. The Torah does in fact command us on Shabbos, and we saw the Psukim earlier. And the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Kin Rabbi Abba Di Om Rabbi Abba Chofer Guva B'Shabbos V'Ein Tzarech El Yafra Potter Alei Keman Ki Rabbi Shimon Di Om Roloch Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Potter Alei. And the Gemara says the following, that you know what? If I only had the Torah, what we call the written Torah, then I would assume that if a person digs a hole in the ground on Shabbos, he's chayav, because that's a malacha of charisha. And yet, Rabbi Abba says that if you dig a hole in the ground on Shabbos, you're potter. Why you're potter? Because eino tzarech ela li'afra, he doesn't need the hole, he needs the dirt, he needs the offer. Kirevi Shimon, Dion Malach Shen Tzrich Legufa Potter Ale. Where do we know that from? And the Gemara uses this as an example to illustrate that it's Torah Shebal Peh. It's Hararim Hatluyim B'Sa'ara. As far as Torah Shebal is concerned, I wouldn't begin to understand that a Malach Shen Tzrich Legufa should be Potter. Then the Gemara goes even a step further. Fafilu Teman, let's say you'll want an answer according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is what? Is Chayav. And the Gemara then introduces the concept of Makalkel. And the Gemara insists that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Patur, nevertheless, he agrees that that even though Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is what? Is Chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda, nevertheless, Makalkil is Potter. And that too, says the Gemara, is derived from Torah Shebal Peh. And the Gemara says, then, therefore, after summarizing Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, my, what does it mean in the Mishnah? Kaharim Atluyim V'Sa'ara? So, meaning, what is the basis then for all these halachas that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Potter according to Rabbi Shimon? And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Makalkil is Potter. Where does this come from? So the Gemara says this chagiga on the top of Yud Amud Beis. Meleches machsheves asra Torah. Umeleches machsheves lo ksiva. The Torah only prohibits meleches machsheves. And if it's not a melech, and this requirement of meleches machsheves lo ksiva. What does it mean, lo ksiva? It's not in Torah. Shevetzav, it's all in Torah Shebal Peh. Rashi says, meleches machsheves, shemachshova choshva b'dayto v'niskavim lo. That he had a definite thought and an intention. He schemed and he planned. And that's exactly what he achieved. But lo niskavim lo, then he's pot. Vizeh, and this principle that's going to have such repercussions, send waves throughout, shockwaves throughout Hilchos Shabbos, remez mu'at. All you'll find is a small, subtle illusion. De'ilu melech Shabbos, melech es machshavos b'Shabbos, lo ksiva. You will not find the phrase melech es machshavos with regard to Shabbos in the written Torah. Ela b'mishkan hu d'ksiv. Says Rashi, Chagiga daf Yudam in Beis, where do we find the phrase in the Torah, in the written Torah, Meleches Machsheves? In Mishkan, in Shmos Lamed Hei, in Parshas Vayakel, when Moshe commands Bezalel to implement the Meleches Machsheves. The Anu Lemeidim Meleches Machsheves Mi Mishkan L'Shabbos. Rashi says, Lefisha Samach Parshas Vayakel. Le Parsha Shabbos, says Rashi, which we saw already in the Gemara before, on Daf Mem Tetz, that the Torah deliberately placed the Parsha of Shabbos next to the Parsha of what? Of Mishkan. Lefisha Samach, be Parshas Vayakel, Parsha Shabbos, the Parsha of Mishkan, Anu Lemeidim, Meleches Machsheves L'Shabbos. That's called Kehari Matluya B'Sahara. Meaning, what the Torah says in the written Torah as far as Melech HaShavah is concerned is Lotasu Kol Melacha. And presumably these are Melachos. And why should we part of them? The answer is that there's a Remez Mu'at. And the Remez Mu'at is based on the Smichus HaParshios. You see clearly from Rashi here in Masechta Chagiga that he adopted the sheet of Smichus HaParshios. And how critical is the concept of Smichus HaParshios? The answer is, it teaches me this overarching rule of Meleches Machsheves. Now, Tosfos wants to know here in Chagiga, what does Mekalkel have to do with Meleches Machsheves? If you're talking about Meleches and Tzricha L'Gufa, Rashi says Meleches Machsheves means you have to have a Machshava, you have to have a Kavana. You did it for this purpose. He wasn't interested in digging the hole. He's not planting. He's only interested in the dirt. Fine. But what about Mekalkel? The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mekalkel. Says Tosfos that you need Meleches Machsheves Melacha Chashuva. So now, Rabosai, based on this Sugya Chagiga, we have two different definitions of Meleches Machsheves. And they're both correct. Rashi says Meleches Machsheves requires Machshava and Das with a special Kavana to achieve a certain goal. And therefore, Reb Shimon says that in the case of Meleches and Tzricha L'Gufa, you don't have Meleches Machsheves. And then the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda needs Meleches Machsheves to exclude Mekalkel. And Tosfos says the reason for that is because you need a Melacha Chashuv. These are two categories of Meleches Machsheves. The first category is subjective. The second category is objective. On a subjective level, we need Meleches Machsheves that you, the Osa HaMelacha, have Kavana Machshava for this Melacha. Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, says Reb Shimon, that's not enough Kavana. Your Tzorech is not enough. And therefore it's not Meleches Machsheves. That's subjective. Meaning, two people could both implement the same identical act, One is chayev and the other is potter. The one is chayev because he needed the hole for planting purposes. The other one did the exact same thing. The video looks identical, but he did it for the purpose of obtaining the dirt. That's subjective. On an objective level, they're both doing the same action. Why is one chayev, why is one potter? Now we have an objective definition and requirement of Melechus Machshev. It's lafuke makalkel. That makalkel is not considered a malacha. The strange thing here about this structure is that Rashi will accept la halacha both Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. So I just want to point this out. This is for something that we'll have to take up at a different occasion. Meaning, how could Rashi accept Rabbi Shimon that Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Potur, and Rashi identifies that as a chisaron in Meleches Machshavos because he didn't have das and machshava for the planting, and yet Rashi himself passes that Makalkal is Potur, which seems to imply that Meleches Machshavos has nothing to do with the thought of a person and his intention, whether he wanted it for this goof or for that goof, but rather has to do with the objective Melech Chashuv. Rashi seems to have embraced two different definitions of Meleches Machshavos, and from Rashi's perspective, it seems like that's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. Okay. What's next? Okay. Now we have a Mishnah on Daf Memtes Amudbeis. Again, the Mishnah doesn't introduce Meleches Machshavos. I told you I was unable to find Meleches Machshavos in the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses a case of Mechabe Es Haner. What does he do? He extinguishes a flame. Correct? Now, one of the various Molochos listed in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel of Lamites Molochos is Mechabe, extinguishing a candle. And yet, the Mishnah might be familiar with to you, depending on if you're an Ashkenazi or a Sfaradi. The Mishnah says, HaMachabes HaNeh Mipnei Shu Misyorim Mipnei Listim Mipnei Akum Nochrim, with different Girsos Mipnei Ruach Ra Mipnei Achola Sheishan Pot. Fine. So he extinguishes a candle simply because he needs what? Darkness. He needs darkness. Either because the Goyim are going to find him, the Listim are going to find him, some sort of spirits, you know, that flock around, whatever they are, this Ruach Ra. Then he has the Chol HaSheishan, you know, the light is too intense for his eyes, he's got a fever, he got to put out the candle. Pot. No. So when are you chayev from Meleches Mechabe? The Mishnah says, Kachasal aner kachasal shemen kachasal psila chayav. The Rav Yossi potem akulam chutz min hapsila mipnei shehu ose pecha. It comes out like this: the Mishnah formulates a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. When are you chayav for Meleches Mechabe? According to the Tanakhama, if you're interested in anything that's in the Ner itself, which includes the Shemen or the wick, and you want to save them because tomorrow you want to light a candle and you won't have the candle unless you extinguish it, in such cases, says the Tanakhama, you chayev. Rav Yossi says you're potter. Rav Yossi is only willing to be chayev you when? Only if and when you want pecham. What's pecham? Pecham is the charcoal that you're going to use in the future for a campfire of some sort. So the Gemara asks the following question. This is on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Rabbi Yossi Kiman Svirule. Ikar Rabbi Yehuda Svirule. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is Patur. I'm sorry. Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa according to Rabbi Yehuda is Chayav. Is then Afilu Chos Al Ner Chos Al Shemen should also be Chayav. Meaning, what difference does it make? Why he's putting out the candle? What motivates him? Is it for X? Is it for Y? What difference does it make? Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, in any event, is Chayev. As long as he had Kavana to extinguish the candle, he should be Chayev. What's Rabbi Yossi holding here? Liolam says the Gemara Rabbi Yudas Vila, because so Rabbi Yossi. Soser almanas livnos bimkomo avi soser. Almanas livnos shalo bimkomo lo avi soser. So the Gemara presents a very unique shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that we have to go back to the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, they took apart the Mishkan. But where did they rebuild the Mishkan? They took it apart in one place in order to rebuild it in another place, correct? So that's called Soser Amanas Livnos Shalobim Koma. Give me a minute to just read the Rashi. Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yossi, he accepts Rabbi Yehuda that Malach Shein Tzricha L'Guf is Chayav because he has a need for the Malacha, even though he doesn't have a need for the Malacha L'Gufa Shel Malacha, the way it was done in the Mishkan. Says Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that once you have it Tzorech, Chshiva Maleches Machsheves. That's considered Maleches Machsheves. Amo Mekalkel, says Rashi, Potter. Why? De lo havi Maleches Machsheves Klal. In other words, Rashi holds explicitly here in Masechta Shabbos Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, as opposed to what he seems to be maintaining in Chagiga on Daf Yud Amid Beis, where he says that Maleches Machsheves means that you have to have the right machshava. Here Rashi says that you need a malacha chashuva. And mekalkel is pot. So I prove to you from these two Rashis that there are two different definitions of malachas machshava. So Rashi embraces both of them. We call them subjective and objective. One is malachas machshava to exclude malacha shein tzricha l'guf according to Rav Shimon, meaning we didn't have the right sorech and machshava and kavana, and the other is malachas machshavas, where the malach itself is not considered a malach chashuva insofar as it is a kilkul and not a tikkun. So when you have a certain kind of soser and you want to rebuild it and replace the original, then that's considered soser almanas livnos, and that's considered a metakin. But in certain cases where you don't want to build it in the same place, then it's not considered soser almanas livnos. And Rashi says the whole discussion here is about Mishkan and how they did steer in the Mishkan, and what was the purpose of rebuilding after they did steer and they took apart the Mishkan. And the answer is it's got to be Maleches Machsheves. So Rashi clearly maintains that Maleches Machsheves requires not only the proper das, but also the proper objective malach, which means it's got to be masakin and not mekalk. So Rashi's language is called mekalkil de Shabbos havipotu de lav hainu maleches machshavas. So there are two reasons for lack of maleches machshavas. One is malach hashen tzricha l'gufa, which we said is subjective, and the other is the lack of chashiva is in the malach itself because it's mekalkel, and that's called an objective maleches machshavas. Continuing in our overview of the concept of maleches machshavas, now we fast forward to the Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Beis Shabbos Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Beis, and the Gemara says Hatofer Shtei Tfiros. He stitches on Shabbos two different stitches. So the Gemara says, "Vaholo kaima." What does it mean, v'holo kaima? Rashi says, hachi, it's not going to stay, two stitches are not going to stay together. They're very loose. The kevan, d'lo kaima, since they're not going to remain on a permanent basis, lav melacha hi. It's not called a melacha. Now this concept that you need a melacha hamiskayemes that'll be permanent in nature, which is being applied here in the Gemara and Shabbos to two tefiros, actually is a Mishnah in the 12th Perek of Shabbos on Daf Kuf Beis in Perek HaBona, which says that you're only chayav for meleches binyan if it's a binyan shel kayama, if it's a permanent structure. If it's a structure that you take apart and it's only temporary, then it's not miskayemes. And the Gemara now here on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis applies that same principle to the case of Tofer Shtei Tefiros. Says the Gemara, why you chayv for Tefiros Shtei Tefiros? After all, it's lo kaima. Omer Abba Baruch Hanam Rabbi Yochanan Vehusha Kashron. After he stitches two Tefiros, then he ties a knot that will keep the two Tefiros together. And that makes it into what? A molacha hamiskayemes. Can everybody repeat that for me? A molacha hamiskayemes. 1, 2, 3. Molacha hamiskayemes. Oh, now I know you're alive. And the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Yud Halacha Tes, Hatofer Shtei Tefiros Chayav Vehu Shekoshar Roshei Achut Mikan Umikan. The Rambam says you have to put knots on both ends of the two stitches. Kidei shetamod hatfira veloti shomet, says the Rambam, so that the tfira will remain and it won't go loose. So this Gemara about two tfiros with a kesher, which means we require a malacha miskayemes, is paskind by the Rambam lehalacha in Perek Yud Mihilchos Shabbos Halacha Tes. But now the going gets a little rough. Shtei tefiros without a kesher. What's wrong with that? The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yoredeya Siman Shin, Hilchos Klai Begadim, that if you take linen and wool, a strip of cloth of pishtan and a strip of cloth of tzemer, and you stitch them together with shtei tefiros, chayav, you are in violation of the iser of kelayim. And to resolve, the Taz points out on the side, afal gav de behilchus Shabbos beperek yud, kosav Rambam hatofer shtei tefiros, chayav uhusha yikshar roshe achutu mikan umikan, kidei shetamad hatfir velo tishomet. Meaning you need a tefira miskayemes. And yet here, in Klai Begadim, the Machaber Paskin said, well, you need a shtei tefiros. He doesn't whisper a word about kshira. Says the Taz, shiny chibur de kelayim, de choshiv chibur afilu bekol shehu. Right now you have two stitches that are the two cloths of wool and linen respectively are hanging together, if you will, and therefore that's considered yachtov. The Torah says the tzemer pishtin yachtov, that's called yachtov. What's yachtov? Two tefiros is enough for yachtov. Masha ein kein le'inyon kshira b'shabbos, there it's not enough for two tefiros. Anybody guess what the Taz is going to say? You guessed it, Meleches Machsheves. By the way, any question I ask you today, the answer is always going to be Meleches Machsheves, because that's the subject of our discussion today. We're offering an overview of Meleches Machsheves, so you can almost bet your bottom dollar that you'll get it right, so you might as well offer that answer. And if you're wrong, okay, I'll find. So says the Taz, Mashenkin Link Shiri Bishabis, Tsochye Dover Shal Kayoma, the Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Now, Rabosa, we have a third category of Meleches Machsheves. We started with Rashi and Chagiga regarding Das and Kavano, and Rashi says the coin trip Shim Melech Shen Tzuch Legufa's Potter, because you're lacking in Meleches Machsheves. You need a Machshava for Gufa Shal Melech. Then we had the Tosfos about Mekalkel. The Tosfos says the Mekalkel is Potur because it's not Moleches Machsheves. Then we saw that Rashi himself accepts that definition, that Mekalkel is not Moleches Machsheves. Now we have a third category to exclude from Moleches Shabbos because of the deficiency in Moleches Machsheves, and that's a Moleches She'eino Shel Kayama. And this Rabosai reminds me of Tosfos with regard to Mekalkel. Tosfos says the chisson of Moleches Machsheves in Mekalkel is because it's not a Moloch Chashuva. Now we're saying that Moloch Chashuva doesn't only mean, at the bare minimum, constructive Moloch, but it also means permanent Moloch. So we need constructive as opposed to destructive. And another element of Chashivus is we need Kayoma as opposed to something that's temporary, that's just a chibur kol dehu in the language of the Taz. Oh, I'm getting excited. Now we have a sugya in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza with Rashi adds a whole new dimension to Moleches Machsheves. The Gemara says the following, that in order to prepare for the Chiv Maser, which means that at what point after gathering in your produce do the fruits become what we call Tevel Lemaser, which means the Chiv Maser is clinched. The Gemara says we need something, this is based on Mishnayos in Maisus, we need something called Gemar Melacha. What's Gemar Melacha? The Gemara offers many different sources and many different scenarios depending upon the nature of the produce of Gemar Moloch. One of those cases on the list is Gabi Bitsolim, in the case of onions. As I said, each produce is a little different. At what point, after gathering together his onions, you know, he harvests his onions, at what point is he chayav in maaser? When is the Gemar Moloch? Says the Mishnah, quoted here in the Gemara in Beitza, Misha Yamid Arema. What's Misha Yamid Arema? When he gathers together all the onions in one basket, so to speak, it's like if you know what I'm talking about, a bale of hay. You know what I'm saying? You bale something. Now here I have to ask you a question. If a person would bale, a farmer would bale his hay on Shabbos, what would you say? He's chayef. Under what malacha? Do you happen to know which of the 39 that's called? It's called ma'amer. Ma'amer. So the Gemara here asks the following question. Gabi Shabbos, in the same exact scenario, he did the same exact malacha, Misha Yamid HaRema, he took all these bitsolim, all these onions, and he gathered them together. Potter. Why is he potter? If it's Gemar Malacha for Maser, let it be Gemar Malacha for Moleches Ma'amer. Says the Gemara, Ma Yisla Lameymar, what do we have to say? Moleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Here we have another source for Moleches Machsheves. And this Sugyan Beitza is offering a new definition of Moleches Machsheves. That's what I want to prove to you from Rashi. That's something that you and I would have said is Gemar Moleches Ma'amer, and in fact, that's what the Mishnah codifies it as far as Maser is concerned, that Hamadas HaRema Shel Betzolim engenders the Chiyuv Maser and the Shem Tevel because it is Gemar Moleches, says the Gemara. But nevertheless, it would not constitute a malach in Shabbos because in Shabbos we have another requirement called what? Moleches Machsheves. Says Rashi, Afal gav dila maser havi malacha l'Shabbos Moleches Machsheves shehi Moleches Umnus Asra Torah. Whole new definition of malach. What's Moloch in Shabbos? Moleches Umnus. What does Umnus mean? Professional. You need a professional. I don't know how to bale hay. In Bnei Akiva, they teach you how to bail hay, you know, because you prepare for, you know, for being a social a kibbutznik. And again, that was back in my day. Today, I don't know. Socialism, I think, is a little bit out of style. But when I was a 16-year-old, everything was about socialism. I'm really dating myself. So the idea of a kibbutz and going on a program called Hakshara, if anybody here knows of it, Ozzy would certainly know. Yeah. I don't know, Manny, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, you were also in Bnei Akiva?
Yeah, he was at Staleo.
He was at Staleo.
No, he was at...
I thought he was at Saad.
Saad.
Oh, that's where Ozzy was, at Saad. All my friends were at Yavne. Well, I'm not going to tell you why they chose Yavne, but that's not for mixed company. Okay, anyway. But Ozzy was at Saad, so he wanted to go down to Saad. And I think he worked in Turkey's, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this is going back like, you know, over four decades. Yeah, closer to five decades. Anyway, to make a long story short, I never bailed any hay in my life. I came close, but I left Kibbutz Yavne after a day and I went to Yeshivat Yavne, which was 5 minutes up the road. So I didn't get the experience that other members of Bnei Akiva got, and they knew how to bale hay. But it's definitely a Meleches Umnos. But gathering onions, even I could gather onions and put them in a basket. Says Rashi, that's not called Meleches Machsheves, because Meleches Machsheves means Meleches Umnos. And if I asked you, Rabosai, where does Rashi get this concept of Umnos from, which is not in the Sugya, and what gives Rashi the plates, you know, the gumption to identify Meleches Machsheves as a Meleches Umnos? What would be your answer, Abosai? I'm scoring a zero here. I'll give you a hint. It starts with Bezalel, okay? Right, when Bezalel built the Mishkan together with all his Chachmei Lev, they weren't Berzons, you know, couldn't put a nail through a thing without knocking his hand out, you know, his finger off. They did Meleches Umnos. And if the Mishkan becomes your paradigm for Meleches Shabbos, it makes absolutely sense that Rashi would identify Meleches Machsheves as Meleches Uman, and therefore anything I do on Shabbos which doesn't require Umnos, and any guy with two fingers can put it together, that's not called Meleches Shabbos. So it comes out, Rabosai, that now we have four different definitions of Meleches Machsheves. We have one definition in Rashi and Chagiga, which means Machshava and Das. If he didn't have Kavanah for that purpose, the way it was done in the Mishkan, Melach Shein Tzich L'Gufetz, Rav Shimon says that's a Chisar to Melech Machsheves, that's Rashi Shita. Number two, we have Tosfos Shita Mekalkel is part of because it's a Chisar to Melech Machsheves. Then we have the Sugya Beitz, the Sugya that we discussed in Masechta Shabbos about Tfira of Shtei Tfiros, and there the Gemara says you need a Melacha Miskayeves, and Rashi says otherwise it's not Meleches Machsheves. And finally we have the Gemara here in Beitza, the way Rashi interprets it, that unless it's a Meleches Umnos, it doesn't qualify as a Meleches Machsheves.
How does Hotzah get to
be, I don't know, Hotzah is going to be a separate topic. The Gemara calls Hotzah and Melacha Grua. I don't know exactly what the Gemara has in mind, but Alan, that's really food for thought. If you get a chance over the next few days, think about Meleches Hotzah. It's radically different than the other 38, and you don't know what Meleches Machsheves is in Hotzah. But here I want to introduce a Chiddush. You know, I said to you that in our overview we wanted to cover not only the Psukim of the Torah, the Sugyas in Shas, the Rishonim, we did the Rashi, we did the Tosfos, but also the Achronim. And one of the great poskim who studied Hilchos Shabbos, it was almost his life's love, is the Sukkotch of a Rebbe, the Avnei Neis. And he wrote a book called Iglei Tal. So in order to build up a little excitement, in order to appreciate the Iglei Tal and where he's coming from, and his understanding of what Meleches Machsheves is all about, we start with a sugya about Meleches Kosef. So let me just get out the Gemara for you for a second, and we'll see what it says. Okay. Oh. The Gemara is in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Ayin Dalid Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara wants to know what's the status of a righty who writes on Shabbos with his left hand, and B, a righty who writes only one letter with his right hand, and he never wrote a second letter. In the first case, we have a principle called Kelachar Yad. Kelachar Yad literally means when he puts his hand in the back and he writes something with his hand. But in this case, the Gemara applies that phrase to writing with his left hand. So from now on, Rabosa, I don't want any Southpaws here in the audience to be insulted. But just to make life easier, whenever I say left hand, I'm talking about a righty, okay? The second category that the Gemara is going to address in with regard to Meleches Kosev is writing one letter as opposed to two letters, which is called, in Hilchos Shabbos, that's called Chatzi Shir. Now, we're going to see that in both of those two cases, the righty who wrote with his left hand, Kelachar Yad, and the person who wrote one os, Chatzi Shir, is Potter. In order to introduce the Avnei Nezer, we're going to ask the following question. In Parshas Ki Tetze, the Torah says that if a man is married to a woman and he finds an Erev Dabar, then V'kasav la Sefer Krisus V'nosan B'yot. The word V'kasav means Ksiva, and he writes again. And the Shulchan Aruch wants to know if the Sofer who's writing the Get, or for that matter, if the Baal himself is capable of writing a Get, it doesn't have to be a Sofer, the Halacha doesn't require a Sofer, is a righty, and he writes the Get with his left hand. So the Shulchan Aruch is in Evin HaEzer Simon Kuf Chaf Gimel, and he writes Hakol Ksherim Lichtov Haget, Afilu Goy Eved Chere Shotav Akad. With regard to Goy, he requires a Gadol Omed Al Gabov. Different halachas here that are not relevant to us today. The Ramah adds the following comment: Lechatchila Yichtov HaSofer BeYado HaYeminis. Lechatchilo means the best ideal situation would be for the sofer to write it with his right hand. And the Chelkas Mechokek is the super commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Evin HaEzer says that the implication is that if he wrote it with his left hand, then it would be kosher. Mashma de b'dieved kosher haget im kosav b'smo. Then he has a comment, Afal Gabdeinu Sholeit B'Shtei Yodov, he's not ambidextrous, fine. Then he says the following, the Afal Gav Dili Inyan Shabbos Kosav Bismolo Lav Ksavu. He's not Chayef of Leches Ksiva if he's a righty and he writes with his left hand. Ubi Gemara Gittin Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. If we get a chance, we'll take a look at that sugya. Medame Get L'Shabbos. The Gemara establishes an analogy between Get and Shabbos. In both cases, we're talking about Ksiva. And there he says, Linyan Ksav Al Gabi Ksav. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Ksav Al Gabi Ksav. Says the Chelkas Mechokek, Yesh Lomar Delav L'chol Midi Medamin Medaminon L'Shabbos. The equation between Ksiva and Get and Ksiva and Shabbos is not all-inclusive. Why? The B'Shabbos B'Yinom Leches Machsheves Dumya de Mishkan V'Alkein Kol Shekosav Kelachar Yad B'Smolo Lav Moleches Machsheves Abul Mikol Makom Ksav Mikri V'Koshelin Yinket. My friends, once again we are seeing the application of the principle of Moleches Machsheves. And in this context, we're seeing a unique halacha in Hilchos Shabbos that doesn't apply universally, Kol HaTorah Kula, as far as Kelachar Yad is concerned. So, Le'inyan Get, Kelachar Yad, is okay. And the Get is kosher. But Le'inyan, whatchamacallit, Le'inyan Shabbos, it doesn't qualify as a Melech HaShabbos because of the unique halach of Shabbos requiring what? Everybody, again, you can't get this wrong. Melech HaShabbos. Okay. I was getting worried. You know, at this hour of the day, you know, people tend to get a little, especially it's stuffy, you know, people get to get a little tired. But we're getting close to our goal line, and we're getting a grasp of what Melech HaShabbos is all about. Oh. Now, as I told you before, there were two concepts that we wanted to introduce into Moleches Machsheves. One is Kelachar Yad, and the other was Chatzi Shir. Now that's a little bit more complicated because Chatzi Shir is not a unique Shabbos halacha. Chatzi Shir is a universal halacha. It doesn't seem to be related to or generated by Moleches Machsheves. But here, I have for you a Rashbam in Masechet Baba Basra. As you may know, from Chavtes in Masechet Baba Basra and on, Rashi had passed on, and we have instead the Einikol, we have the Rashbam. What does it say in Baba Basra, Daf Nun Hei, Amin Beis? The Gemara here is talking about Shgaga, Hilchus Shgagas. And the Gemara talks about a case where he forgot it was Shabbos, and instead of carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yochid out to Rosh Hashanah a full grogeres, that's the shear of Meleches Hotzah, he carried out a half a grogeres. Then, before he realized that it was Shabbos, he still had forgotten it was Shabbos, he went back in and took another Chatzi grogeres, and the Gemara discusses the possibility of integrating the two Chatzi grogeros, and he's chayav a korban chatos, because it was Behelem Achas, meaning he forgot Shabbos only once. So again, if he forgot Shabbos, carried out a half a grogeres, then he remembered it was Shabbos, then later on, a few hours later, he forgot again it was Shabbos, and he carried out another half a grogeres, it's two halomos, two forgetfulnesses, we cannot integrate them, and it's a chatzi shir in his pot. If on the other hand, Behelem Achas, he brought out a chatzi grogeres, and then another chatzi grogeres, then he's chay. So the Rashbam makes the following comment. The Maseches Shabbos Tnan, Hamotzi Ochlim, if a person carries foodstuff from one rishus to another, Chayov Bigro Geres. He's Chayov if he carried out a shear of produce of Grogeres. What happens if he carried half a Grogeres? Says the Rashbam, B'Shabbos Moleches Machsheves Osra Torah V'lo Chashiva Hotzas Dover Choshev B'Pachos Miku Grogeres. The Rashbam insists that if he carries a half a Grogeres from one Rishus to the other on Shabbos, he's potter because of Moleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Why? Because he didn't carry a Dover Choshev. Imagine if I wanted to give you a gift, or I wanted to feed you, you're my worker, And instead of giving you chatsi gogeres, I give you a chatsi gogeres. You know, it's like taking a pea and cutting it in half. I give you half a pea on par. Rashi, the Rashbam says, that's not a dover chashuv. And therefore it's a chisorin and maleches machshavos. And all of the Farshim jump on this Rashbam and they say, why did the Rashbam need to introduce him maleches machshavos? After all, chatsi shir is a general halacha in kol tarkula. Whenever the Torah requires a shir, you have to do the shir. Right? For example, in matzah, how much matzah do you have to eat on the night of Pesach? A kezayis. If you eat less than a kezayis, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah. And if you eat half a kezayis of nevela, then you're not chay malkus for violating the issur nevela, etc., etc., etc. So why does Rashbam feel compelled to introduce maleches machshavos and justify that if he carries out a half a grogeres, that's not a dover chashuv? Who would give a half a grogeres to anybody? So why does Rashi need that? Rashbam, I keep thinking about Rashi, but so the answer they give is the following fascinating answer that we passing like Rabbi Yochanan at the end of Masechta Yoma, the Chatzi Shir Asur Ben HaTorah. And the Rashbam wants to say the Chatzi Shir and Shabbos is not Asur Ben HaTorah. Again, don't confuse me with the Rabbanan, see Rabbi Osai. All discussions about the Rabbanan are classified information. But on a Doraisa level, Chatzi Shir is Mutter Ben HaTorah. Why? What happened to the universal halach of chatzi shir? Awesome in Torah. The answer is in Shabbos we have a unique halacha. Everybody, you got it right. How did you get it right? How'd you know I want the maleches machshavos? And that's the Rashbam of maleches machshavos. So Rabosai, we now have two additional concepts included in maleches machshavos. One is that kelachar yad, if he writes with his left hand instead of his right hand, that's not considered maleches machshavos. In the Mishkan, they carried with their right hand, not with their left. And number two, if he carries out a half a kizai, a half a grogeres, then Rashbam says that he's not even violating any sort of isur of chatzi shir. It doesn't even qualify as chatzi shir because it's not a malacha, because it's not maleches machshavos.
Are there any other examples where chatzi shir would be chayav anywhere?
I can give you millions of examples. Let's say, for example, if a man would eat half of a kezayis of chalef, so that would be an isur doraisa, because we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish holds chatzis is mutter ben haTorah, but we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, chatzis is also ben haTorah. So chalef and dom and klaya kerem and tevel and nevela and treifa and shkatzim and ramos.
So it's not such a universal code then to say
chatzi
shir is
pater. No, chatzi shir is mutter only in Shabbos. Only in Shabbos, says Rashbam. Why?
Because of malachas function.
Do you follow? What we're seeing over and over again, that's why I want you to get the pattern here, because I think if you get a hold of the pattern, everything else fits into place. Why is it that tofer of shtei tfiros in kelayim is chayav, and yet in Shabbos you potter unless you have a kshira? And the answer that we said in the name of the Taz is because in Shabbos we have a special requirement of maleches machshavos, and until it's a melacha miskayemes, it doesn't qualify as a maleches Shabbos. Why is it that in kol haTorah kula you're chayav for chatzi shir, but in chatzi shir the Rashbam says there's no isur Torah at all, because in Shabbos there's an additional unique requirement of maleches machshavos, and the Rashbam insists that less than a shir is not maleches machshavos? Why is it that you could write a get with your left hand, not advisable, but if you do so, the get is kosher, and if the Baal took that get and he delivered it to his wife, she is a grusha? What happened to the din of kelachar yad? And the answer is because kelachar yad is a special p'tur in Hilchos Shabbos, because in Shabbos there's another requirement called what? Maleches machshavos. You're getting the hang of it, Rav Osai.
So I mean to say also that kavanah should not be confused with machshava, because
kavanah, I believe, belongs not to maleches machshavos but to kol haTorah kula. And I always mention to you,
Kavanah is gabei mezid and
shalom. Well, yeah, yeah, but what I mean to say in Kavanah, maybe Alan, you're referring to something different. When I didn't intend to do what I did. For example, the Gemara talks about certain methods of healing a person, certain herbs or drugs, chemical drugs, and the Gemara says they cause sirus. What's sirus in English? Can anybody help me with that? Castration. But I'm looking for a different word. Sterilization, I think, would be a better word in this context. Now, you're not allowed to sterilize not a human being, and maybe not even animals, you have to know. So what happens if there's a, again, if it's not pikuach nefesh, but there's a very great need to take a certain drug, but as a result of this drug, what's going to happen? The person becomes sterile. Now, you might say, well, he already was Makai in the superior of a Riv. He's a man in his 50s, and he has already a son and a daughter. But the answer is, there's a separate Isur of Sirus. So that would come under Dorosha Eino Miskamen. Meaning, I had intention to do X, and as a result, there was a repercussion Y.
Yeah, I was thinking about Get. In other words, the fact that he has Kavana to make this a get, you would think that maybe that doesn't make sense of Melechus Machshavas, but it doesn't, because Kavon and Get, Kavon and Get
would be Lishma.
Yeah.
But as far as the Ksav is concerned, you need a Ksav, and if a Ksav requires Yad Yamin and not Kelacha Yad 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 Smol, then why does Rambam say L'chatchila the Sofer should write the Get with his right hand? The Mechalkas Mechokik, it says that the Rama implies that b'di'evit, if he wrote the Get with his left hand, it's kosher. What happened to the Halach of Kelachar Yad? And the Mechalkas Mechokik says that Halach of Kelachar Yad is Halach in Ksiva B'Shabbos, because in Ksiva B'Shabbos we require Meleches Machshevas. And if he writes with his left hand, that's not called Meleches Machshevas. Okay. So I really should call upon someone. Where's my watch? I just want to see how we could time ourselves. Okay, we still have. I should call on. Maybe we'll do this as a joint effort. Can we just quickly? Again, I still want to get up to the Avdei Nezer. That's my Igle Talis, my main. But can we quickly summarize in order all the cases of Meleches Machshevas? Can we do that? Okay. Number one was Malacha Shein Etzricha Leguf, according to whom? According to Rabbi Shimon. Number two, and that's the way Rashi interprets it. With you need Das, and you need Ratzon, and you need Kavana, the whole nine yards. Number two, we have Makalkel according to Tosis. Tosis says the Makalkel is Pot Mishum Maleches Machshevas. Number three, we had the case of, what do you say?
Kiyama.
Of Malachas Amis Kayemis. And therefore, the case of Tefira, we said you needed two Ksharim in order to hang, make sure it hangs together. In the case of Binyan, we need a Binyan Shal Kayom. You're not Chayef. In Kalatar Kula, we saw that in Kelayim, all you need is a Chibur Koldu, and two Tefiras is enough. And you're Chayef for Kalayab Godim, even though there was no Kshira. That's another application of Meleches Machshevas. Then we had Rashi and Beitza, that Meleches Machshevas requires a Maisa Uman, as opposed to gathering together Bitzolim, which would be enough as a Gemar Melech for Chiv Maisa and a Shem Tevel, but not in Shabbos, because of Meleches Machshevas. Was there anything else No, Klachiyad Chatzir, but there was nothing before that? I thought there was... Okay. Okay, so we'll talk about now Kelachar Yad. Let's say he writes with his left hand, and he's a righty. In Shabbos, he's Potur. Says the Taz, the reason for that, says the Chalkas Mechokik, the reason for that is because in Shabbos, there's a special halacha of Meleches Machshevas. It has to be the way it was done in the Mishkan, but in Get, you would be a kosher Get, it would constitute and qualify as Ksiv. Then we have, just to finish it up, Manny, then we have Chatzi Shir, which the Rashbam says Mabasra is a Chisar Melech. So, yeah, Manny, good.
Wouldn't Kalachar Yad also be an Indian of Umanot? You can combine them.
Well, I think you should ask that question after the Sukkot Shavuot. Why? Because, again, I'm just going to give you a hint to the answer because I want to do the Sukkot Shavah, that it's possible that if you could achieve a Meleches Uman with your left hand, you would still be Potter. Are you with me? Yeah. Meaning, even if the final product would be a Meleches Uman, since you used your left hand and you're righty, you would be Potter. Why? Because it's not the way it was done. It was done in the Mishkan. Okay, now I'm assuming that I didn't leave anything out, although, I don't know, for some reason I have this annoying feeling that maybe I left something out. Okay, so hopefully we have it all. Now keep in mind that the Rashbam insists that Chatzi Shir is not called Choshev. Meleches Machshavos means Chashivus. Who's going to offer someone a Chatzi Gogeres? Like, you got to be really stingy for that. You know, again, in wartime and so forth, obviously, you'll take even a Reva Gogeres. But in a normal situation, all things are equal. According to Rashi, and Manny, maybe this is what you had in mind, since Rashi requires Meleches Uman, otherwise it doesn't qualify as Meleches Machshavos, it could be that it's part of Umnus to require a certain minimum amount. Meaning, if you hire me as your professional craftsman or artisan, you know, I'm not gonna bother with a Chatzi Gogeres. I need a full Gogeres, or whatever the shear might be. But either way, whether you take A or B, whether you say the Chisaron is because, you know, in the Mishkan, Bezalel was commanded to do an Uman to work as a craftsman, or whether you'd say that it's not Chashuv to present someone with a Chatzi Gogeres, it's kind of stingy and poor, you know, it's an insult. The bottom line is that there's a p'tur here that's unique to Meleches Shabbos and Meleches Machshavos. And it means that in Kol Torah Kula, I'm going to be in violation of an Isur D'Oraisa in the case of Chatzi Shir. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan Chatzi Shir Sinta. But in Shabbos, it's not a Melecha. It's not a Melecha at all. Okay. Now we're ready for the Igle Tal. Says the Igle Tal, in Eved Ezer, as far as Ksiva's get is concerned, we say that a get is kosher biyad small. It was written by the left, with a left hand. And in Shabbos, we say we need Meleches Machshavos. Yeshua Ayin, he asks the following question. A very powerful objection. How could this be? We find in Kol HaTorah Kula, as a universal rule, has nothing to do with Shabbos, that there's something called Shelo Kedarka. You did it in an unusual way. For example, the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis that if you have Hana Shelo Kederach Hana Asam, when the Torah prohibits Hana, whether it's Arla, Kalaya Kerem, whether it's Chametz BePesach, whatever the Isur Hana is, if you do it Shelo Kedarkon Yepotur, doesn't say Meleches Machshavos and Chametz. Or, for example, the Gemara establishes in Masechta Shavuos that Hanichnas LeBeis HaMenuga Derech Achorov, if he walks into a place of Tumah, let's say he's a Kohen, and he does it backwards, he's Potur. In fact, there are discussions in the Gemara and Shavuos that perhaps in certain cases you're tar. It's not. It does. You don't even contract tumah. He quotes a Gemara Menachos about haktara al gabi mizbeach on the part of a kohen, that if after the haktara the kohen wants to eat the mincha, it's called kometz mincha, and he eats it shelo kedarka in a very unusual way, then that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of achilas kodesh. He quotes another Gemara that Atolesh bi'atzit sheinu nakuv is potur because ein derech zriya b'kach. I mean, this could have repercussions in Hilchos Shviyos and otherwise. See, basically, what the Igle Tal has done for us with tremendous erudite scholarship as he investigates all of Shas, it is he has proven that if a person does something in a way that's unusual, it's not normally done that way, that p'tur is a universal halacha that applies in many different areas of halacha and has nothing to do with Meleches Machshavos, which is a unique Shabbos halach. So why then is it that kilachar yad, as we saw in the Chelkas Mechokek, is not a problem in ksiva universal, meaning in get? It's only a problem in Shabbos, where kilachar yad, if he writes with his left hand, he's parted from meleches ksiva because of the omission or the deficiency of meleches machshavos. So at this point, the Igle Tal of the Sukkachava breaks new ground. He blazes, I think, a new trail for this. And it might sound like I'm over-dramatizing it, but I'm not. This is like the fundamentals of Melech HaShabbos. Ach biruram shel dvarim. He says that if we want to clarify this issue and lift the cloud and see clarity, the meleches kilachar yad yesh bo shnei ofanim. There are two different categories of kilachar yad. One of them is universal, and it's not limited to Shabbos. The other is a unique Shabbos halach. What are these two categories of kilachar yad? He says the following. In the first category, yesh b'malacha atzma shinui b'eichus hanif'al. Okay, the language here is very fancy, very poetic. He says the following, that in the most extreme case, which again, that's going to apply universally in Kol Tarkula, the kelachar yad has an impact, in this case let's call it a detrimental impact, on the echus, on the quality of the nif'al. Okay, if I had a blackboard, I would write the word nif'al on a blackboard. If I had a choir, I would ask everyone together in unison to say the word nif'al. Nif, 1, 2, 3, nif'al. What's the nif'al? He gives the following example. He says you can plant in the ground, in a field, and you can plant in an utzitz. What's that called in English? A pot. Let's say a pottery, right? There's another word, but fine. He says that those two are so fundamentally different that it doesn't even take the eye of an expert to see. It's so blatant. The difference in the echus ha-nif'al, nif'al means the final result, you can see. One is a sapling that's growing. Maybe it'll grow into a tree. I don't know what. The other is like this little dinky plant. Okay, we like plants, but it's not the same. That's called a shinui. That's a qualitative difference in the nif'al. V'yesh. But there's a second category. Of meleches kilachar yad shehi shinui b'echus ha-poel. And again, we'd have to write that word poel or sing together the word poel, because that's the key word here. Shinui b'echus ha-poel bilvad v'lo b'echus ha-nif'al. Meaning there's no obvious distinction here in the final result, meaning the nif'al, but rather there's a distinction in the quality of the action itself. And with this distinction, he wants to set up the parameters of Shalom Kedarka and Kol Tarkula as opposed to Shabbos. If it's the first category, namely, Shinui B'Echus HaNif'al, claims the Igle Tal, that's Shalom Kedarka, and that will apply universally in Kol Tarkula. But if, on the other hand, it's a shinui, not b'echus ha-nifal, but b'echus ha-poel bilvad, it's only in the pu'ula, the action itself. In that case, that's a Shabbos halach. That does not apply universally. So he says, for example, what would you say about a person who works very hard to write with his left hand? He's a writer, and he's killing himself to write with his left hand. However, hitzliach, he succeeded, because of all the work he put in, tedious work, v'kasav osios miusharos, somehow he was able to fool us, and he wrote straight letters. I could never do it, but he wrote straight letters, and it looks like he wrote with his right hand, meaning if I show you, let's say I take an object and I carry it from one rishus and I place it down in another rishus and I do it with my left hand. Says the Avni Nezer, the Yigli Tal, there's no difference in the Echus HaNifal. The Nifal looks identical. But then he says that there's something called Shalo Kedarka, which really has an impact on the Nif'al, not just on the Shinui HaPoel, but even on the Nif'al. That, he says, is a universal halacha of Shalo Kedark. So he gives the following example. You can eat something that's edible and sweet, you know, it's tasty for the taste buds, and then you could be ma'arev dover mar. You can add to the food something that's bitter. If you add to the food something that's bitter, then the machal has changed, and therefore the nifal is also impacted. It's not just that you ate from one side of your mouth instead of the other side of your mouth, or you stood on your head and you ate upside down. No, you ate something that's mar, that's bitter. Or for example, chelev, instead of eating cooked chelev as most people would normally do, he eats raw chelev or very hot chelev that burns his throat. In all these cases, he says there's a shinu b'eichus hanifal. Avol be ofen she ein shum shinu b'eches hanifal rak b'eches hapoel. Roy Hoya, according to the standards, universal standards of cultural, is chayev sharei mikol makom hanifal nigmara karoy, was successfully achieved. Ach mikol makom b'shabes poter alei. On Shabbos he's potter, and everybody's going to give me the answer. You got to get this right. Why is he potter on Shabbos?
Not Maleches.
Maleches Machshavos. Excellent. The Maleches Machshavos Osra Torah. I will gabi get Ksav Mikri. The Ksav Hoyeroi. Meaning he wrote Biosios Miusharos. How he did so, I don't know. He worked very hard. He wrote very slowly. Maybe somebody gave him a block. You know, what's it called? He traced it, whatever you call it.
A stencil.
A stencil. Yeah, somebody gave him a stencil. Says the Yigli Tal, in that case, since the Ksav itself, as a Nifal, was unaffected by the Shinui V'Echus HaPoel, meaning the fact that he wrote with his left hand instead of his right hand, did not undermine the final result of the Osios on the Ksav, and therefore, says the Yigli Tal, in a get, it's considered ksiva.
It's still Shalom Kedarka, though.
Oh, but again, so let me just try to summarize. I don't know how to convince you or seduce you to accept the Yigli Tal. You know, you're either opposed or accepted. But his point is that kilachar yad is a term that has to be understood. You can't just say kilachar yad. Kilachar yad means one thing in one context in halacha, like for example in Hilchos Shabbos, it means another whole thing in Kol Torah Kula. When in Kol Torah Kula we say kilachar yad is potur, it's shalo kedarka, it's unusual, this is not the way that we expect him to do it, that's because it's a shinu v'echus hanifal. In some sense, the ultimate repercussions here and the tozaah ma'asit has been detrimentally affected. That's called a p'tur of shalom kedarka. But if there's only a shinui bit Bitsuras ha-pa'ula, in other words, the po'el is different, right? The po'ula is, but not the nifal. Then he says that if you successfully created the result that you needed to get, so even though you wrote with your left hand, which is kelach ha-yad, but you wrote a get, and that get is perfectly legible, you don't even have a clue that he wrote the letters with the left hand, then that's called a kelach ha-yad, which in Kol Tarkula qualifies because there was no sheet in Vieches HaNifal. When in Kol HaTarkula do we say that Shekelach HaYad or Shelo Kedarka upsets or otherwise the Chiyuv? That's only if it has a sheet in Vieches HaNifal. But if it's a sheet only Bilvad Vieches HaPoel, that's a new Aloch in Shabbos. That in Shabbos the Torah says Moleches Machshavos not only determines and establishes requirements in the Nifal, but it also establishes requirements in the Poel. And if the Poel, right, the Pa'ula was different, it was Kelach HaYad, then since there's a new Aloch in Shabbos of everybody, Moleches Machshavos, therefore your potter in Shabbos.
Shabbos, I understand, but I still don't get a regular get.
Because again, if
you don't have the addition of saying, well, that's Machshavos by get.
Right, so therefore the get is kosher. Why? Because the Eichus HaNifal is perfect. He was able somehow miraculously to succeed in writing Osios Miusharos. If I would show you the get, and I would ask you, Manny, tell me, did he write it with his left hand, his right hand? You wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
That's why the get is kosher. The same exact case in Shabbos,
he could do it.
He would be part of
it. But he could do it still, as long as it's readable. You could say, as long as it's readable. Why does it have to be that I have noticed the difference? Of writing?
Okay, I over-dramatized it. Yeah, maybe it's enough if it's legible. I don't know. You know, for that, we have to learn carefully the Leital and Hilchus Get. I'm just, my goal here was to try to show you that with the Igle Tal, we now have the beginning, an inkling of the answer to the following question that should have been bothered us from this time we started over an hour ago. Yeah. And I apologize that I went a little bit long today, but what's been gnawing at our mind is that we have all these listed exceptions to Kol HaTarkula that are unique to a Ptur and Shabbos, whether it's this, that, or the other thing, based on Moleches Machshavos. Why? What's the explanation for it? Or at least give me a definition. And the answer that the Igle Tal is supplying me is that in Hilchos Shabbos, the Torah says Melacha is consistent or consists of two different variables. The second variable is the universal variable, namely Eichus HaNifal. And as I want to see what's going to be Bashetach, you know, what's going to be, you know, you gave me two tfiros. Yeah, how long is it going to last? You know what I'm saying? You did a kriya, you ripped your garment, but you did it as a destructive action. You carried a grogeris, but it wasn't a full grogeris, it was only half a grogeris. And in Ksiva of Leches Kosev, you wrote with your left hand, but who cares? I successfully wrote a ksav that's legible, maybe it's just as good as another ksav, whatever it might be. That detail you have to iron out. Says the Igle Tal that in Shabbos, in addition to the universal halacha of nifal, there's an additional requirement of poel. And we look at the pa'ula, we look at the way you did the action, and the implementation of the action has to be Moleches Machshavos. If there's a strange change in the way you did the pa'ula, i.e. you did it with your left hand instead of your right hand, that's not the paradigm of Moleches Machshavos. Let's say it this way. In the Malach of Kosev in the Mishkan, when they wrote the letters on the Krushim, you know, so that they would be able to join the right Krushim together, they wrote it with their right hand and not with their left hand. Now you and I might say, so who cares? But at the end of the day, I or he was able to successfully write a beautiful Os Aleph with his left hand. He worked very hard and he got it done. The job was done. At the end of the day, he carried a very heavy thing with his left hand. He killed himself, but he carried it from Rav Shisyot. Why should I be part? The answer is Mishkan. Mishkan sets the parameters.
But in the Mishkan, if you would have written with his left hand,
it depends what you're asking. Would it be kosher for the building of the Mishkan? It would be, but that's not the way they did the Malach. In other words, what we're learning from Mishkan is not just the Eichus HaNifal, but we're learning the Eichus HaPu'ula. That's the Igle Tal. Now look, if you want to disagree with the Igle Tal, you're perfectly legit to do so. The Igle Tal lived about 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I nothing that he says is Torah's Lakshin. But I think that before you reject the Igle Tal, the Igle Tal, I'm telling you, was the... He put Shabbos on the agenda. Before the Igle Tal, there were scholars here, there, and elsewhere who studied Hilchos Shabbos. But after the Igle Tal, Shabbos became so much more of the common, you know, in the yeshivas, for example. I think my Rebbe also, Rav Soloveitchik, had a lot to do with it because he insisted that we learn Shabbos as part of the, you know, the regular curriculum. And later on, other yeshivas introduced Shabbos. But if I could say this out loud without getting any political this, he was the one who really pushed the agenda of adding Shabbos. Speaking of Shabbos, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a good Shabbos. And the schedule for next week, in case there's anyone here who doesn't know it, the Shiurim start on Sunday, Mitzvah 9:30. That's the Ben Goldfarb group, you know, and then we're studying now the Sugya of Mekalkel, and we're trying to get a definition of Mekalkel. Then I have a Chumash class, which is a philosophy class, at 11 a.m. on Sunday. On Monday, there's no Chumash philosophy class. The 9:30 class is every morning. Then I have the 11:45 Gemara Shia, in which we're learning the Sugya Misasek. That will pick up on Monday. And there's no Chumash class, no philosophy class on Monday. Tuesday, I add, just to kill myself, a philosophy Chumash class. So I start at 9:30, and then at 11 o'clock I have the Chumash class, and then at 11:45, really 12 o'clock on Tuesday, we start the Gemara Shia, and then we'll continue a little bit with Maleches Machshavos to finish that up. And then we'll go on to the topic of Maleches Bishul and Mirtz Hashem in this context on Wednesday, on Tuesdays and Thursdays of next week. So that's more or less the schedule. Did I leave anything out?
Tuesdays and Thursdays stay here.
Tuesday, again, Monday through Thursday is always going to be a Shabbos class at 11:45, except on Tuesday I have to ask your indulgence to start at 12 because I have that Chumash class. On Sunday it's not relevant because we don't get together for Gemara at 12, at 11:45. What did you ask me to say? I'm sorry, maybe I...
Tuesday and Thursday stay here.
I didn't hear the last part of sentence.
Stay here. You're doing the same topic.
I'm trying to, but I there's no guarantee. You know, I can't promise you down the line. So next Tuesday, B'lin Neder, we'll finish up on Maleches Machshavos. We'll have the overview. We're about two-thirds of the way finished with the overview. And then on Thursday, or maybe mid-shir on Tuesday, depending on when we finish Maleches Machshavos, we're going to pick up the Sugya B'li Neder of Mevashel B'Shabbos. And that will continue on Tuesday and Thursday. Okay then? So that's more.